ॐ तिलकमिदंश्च जनार्दनसुलकया श्रीशिवलिखञ्जन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टं स्वपितां जनकुशले सायं गुरुपदरामायं प्रतिस्थापनन्तिकम् मञ्जकपतुर्भ्यश्च कृतसिन्धुवैश्च शीतलं भगिनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः मञ्जकपतुर्भ्यश्च कृतसिन्धुवैश्च शीतलं भगिनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः Phalamaraj was questioning the Avadhuta that he met, who was in the pose, adopted the mode of living of a python, not doing anything for his own advancement in material life, even his eating. Rather, he was choosing to be absorbed fully, using all his energy, his consciousness, and being absorbed within. And Phala Maharaj noted this person was very fat, healthy, jolly. How is it possible? He's not doing anything for his own, to satisfy his needs. How is it possible that he's doing so well? More than a materialist who's working continuously for his happiness. And this Avadhuta wasn't doing anything, but yet he was so happy, chubby. So he asked him how is it that he was able to do this. So we're going to hear some of his reply today. So he's going to begin to explain. First he glorified Prahlad Maharaj as already knowing everything, but now he's going to directly answer his question. He's going to explain the living entity's position in the material world. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws. And thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. This is everyone's condition that he's describing. We'll read till verse 30 and then we'll go back and read to the Prabhupada's purports. Everyone has insatiable, unsatisfiable material desires and struggling life after life. In the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruit of activity due to undesirable material sense gratification, I've received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, to the lower species, or to rebirth amongst human beings. So natural evolution causes this to occur, that eventually one ends up with a human birth, which is a junction, that can lead one upward, out, downward, or to a birth in the same position. This is the great benefit and the freedom offered to someone who has a human birth. In this human form of life, a man and woman unite for the sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeking the contrary results, I've stopped taking part in materialistic activities. So he's saying, what do people usually do with their life? They engage on uniting man and woman, human life, trying to become happy in that way. But he, this Avadhuta, has seen the actual results of that kind of an attempt for happiness, and seeing that the results are the opposite of what people want, hope for, desire, he's given up all material activities, stopped taking part. He said, no, I'm not going to do this. Where is real happiness if it's not in the material world and in enjoyment? The actual form of life for the living entity is one of spiritual happiness. which is real happiness. This happiness can be achieved only when one stops all materialistic activity. So the water and the fire cannot co-jointly exist. The materialistic activities, the materialistic mentality, and the spiritual mentality and spiritual activities are opposed to each other. They require a different mentality, a serving spirit or an enjoying spirit. So one, the spiritual happiness, which is the natural happiness of the living entity, can be achieved only when one stops all materialistic activities. Material sense enjoyment is simply imagination. Therefore, considering this subject matter, I've ceased from all material activities and I'm lying down here. In this way, the conditioned soul living within the body forgets his self-interest because he identifies himself with the body. So this is what the cause of the living entity's illusion is. And why he's engaged in materialistic activities, sensual activities? Because of identification with the body and identification, therefore, with the pleasures that come from the body. Because the body is material, his natural tendency is to be attracted by the varieties of the material world. Thus, the living entity suffers the miseries of material existence. So desiring is natural. Desiring and trying to be happy according to one's desires is natural. When one misidentifies with the body, that leads one to material desires and therefore to materialistic activities, which leads one to unhappiness, frustration, repeated birth and death. But if one doesn't identify with the body, but one identifies with his actual identity, who he actually is, when the illusion of bodily identification, dehatma buddhi, that type of intelligence, when that's been evaporated, when it is gone due to spiritual advancement, then one's self-identification changes to thinking, from thinking one is the body to thinking one is, or understanding one is the soul. So what is it like when one is identifying with the body and captivated by material desires? Just as a deer, this is text 29, just as a deer, because of ignorance, cannot see the water within a well covered by grass, but runs after water elsewhere, the living entity covered by the material body does not see the happiness within himself, but runs after happiness in the material world. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress, but because the various bodies of the living entity are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. So this avadutta, understanding these points, has given up the attempt for material happiness. So we'll read the verses in Prabhupada's purports. They're quite powerful. So first, the avadutta said that I have had insatiable, unsatisfiable, no matter how much fuel is put on my material desires, they don't bring happiness. And therefore, he said, I was engaging in material activities, struggling for existence, trying to be happy on that level. Here's Prabhupada's purport. As long as a living entity wants to fulfill various types of material desires, he must continuously change from one body to accept another. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that as a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about with different types of wood and tree branches, the living entity floats in the ocean of material existence and is dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. This is called the struggle for existence. So what a metaphor to describe what material life is like. Thrown into the river, which is rushing at a fast torrential pace and twisting and turning and mixing us with different other leaves and branches and then separating and then swirling sometimes and being knocked one way and being knocked another way, pushed onward by the forces of material nature and struggling at that same time while being completely controlled by the whirlpools and forces and currents of the material nature, trying to be happy and trying to control things and trying to push away misery and pull closer happiness. So it's a struggle of material existence. Trying to stay afloat is a struggle. This is called the struggle for existence. One kind of fruit of activity causes the living entity to take one form of body, and because of actions performed in that body, another body is created. One must therefore stop these material activities, and the chance to do so is given in the human form of life. Specifically, our energy to act should be engaged in the service of the Lord, for then materialistic activities will automatically stop. One must fulfill one's desires. This is a very interesting proposal that Prabhupada is making. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering unto the Lord, for He knows how to fulfill them. So we are trying to fulfill our desires in the reflection of reality, thinking that this will make me happy in the reflection. We're going in the wrong direction, in other words. But if we surrender to Krishna and place the satisfaction of our desires in His hands, as opposed to in the hands of the mirror reflection of the material world, then the desires actually can become fulfilled, because it's natural for a living entity to have desires. But desiring is part of life. It's part of consciousness. As soon as there's consciousness, want and desire are there. So how to get those desires fulfilled? The answer Prabhupada is giving is in Krishna consciousness, by putting Krishna's pleasure, surrendering to Krishna, trying to please Him, and then allowing Him to satisfy us as He likes. Even though one may have material desires, one should therefore engage in the devotional service of the Lord that will purify one's struggle for existence. Kama sava kama vama uksha kama udaradi tivena bhakti yogena devita purusha para. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desires, without any material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. Anya vilasita sunyam jnana kamara navritam anakalena krishna nushilanam bhakti uttamam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activity or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So whether we have material desires or we don't have material desires, we should still serve Krishna. That will bring satisfaction to the soul. But when we serve Krishna solely for His pleasure, when that is the motive behind the service, that is called pure devotional service. So the living entities in this world, here we are, in this struggle for existence, especially the human beings have choice in the ocean of the material world, trying to gain one thing as it floats past in that river, that rushing river. We think something's going to cause us enjoyment. We struggle to get it. We think something's going to cause us misery. We struggle to push it away while the currents and forces are pulling this way and that. Good advice that Prabhupada's offering is we should surrender to Krishna in this. In the midst of all this. And in the second verse, the Avadhuta explains, Yadritsteya lokamimam, carried away by the waves of material nature, Yadritsteya lokam imam, in this human form, prapita kama bi brahma, carried away by these waves of material life, By the influence, karma be, by the influence of different fruitive activities, what have I achieved? What a prapti, what have I obtained? What have I gotten? I've gotten brahman, wandering from one form of life to another. Swaga apavaga dharam. Sometimes through piety pushed to the heavenly planets, apavaga, sometimes attempting to get liberation, tirescham, sometimes in the lower species of life, and again and again this is going on, and then sometimes asyacha, human being, one can get. So what, throughout all this struggle for existence, the human birth is very rare, because it can lead one to the heavenly planet, Prabhupada, all the verse explains. It can lead one, the human form of life, can lead one upward, downwards, another human birth, out of the material world, or can lead to pure devotional service. Purport. We'll read from part of the purport. Our Krishna consciousness movement is the highest movement for the benediction of human society. Why? Prabhupada would always insist this. There are so many welfare movements. There are so many plans. And everyone thinks that their plan or what they value is the most important thing. Economics, religiosity, some type of spiritual realization or another, power, this type of material happiness, or some kind of sport or fame or this or that. Everyone has their plans, and they're thinking that this is what life is really about, and therefore those who push that type of a plan, any type of a movement, organized or unorganized, is the most important thing for the world. And of course there are many welfare movements too. Stopping this abuse and that abuse and human rights abuse and pushing forward the rights of this group or of that group. But here Prabhupada is explaining Krishna consciousness movement is the highest movement for the benediction of human society. Now why? How could Prabhupada make such a bold statement in the midst of so many contrary bold statements? He continues saying, because this movement is teaching people how to go back home, back to Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 13:22, it is clearly stated that different forms of life are obtained by association with the three modes of material nature, karanam guna sangasya sarasad joni janmasu. According to one's activities, under the modes of material nature, dur bhunte prakriti janiha, desiring to enjoy, what happens is the living entity desiring to enjoy gets caught, karanam guna sangasya, he associates with the modes of material nature, and that causes sarasad joni janmasu, birth and death in the material world, different varieties of species of life. According to one's association with the material qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance in this life, in one's next life, one receives an appropriate body. Modern civilization does not know that because of varied association in material nature, the living entity, although eternal, is placed in different disease conditions known as the many species of life. Modern civilization is unaware of the laws of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani sarvasha ahankara muda ma karta hamiti manite. So this is how nature works. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the performer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Every living entity is under the full control of the stringent laws of material nature, but rascals think themselves independent. Actually, however, they cannot be independent. This is foolishness. A foolish civilization is extremely risky, and therefore this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to make people aware of their fully dependent condition under the stringent laws of nature, and is trying to save them from being victimized by strong Maya, which is Krishna's external energy. Behind the material laws is the supreme control of Krishna, Maya Lakshana Prakriti, Suyate Sarcharacharan. Therefore, if one surrenders unto Krishna, Mayeva Ye Papadyante, Maya Metantuantite, one may immediately be freed from the control of external nature. Saganan Samatik Yaitan Brahmabhuya Kalpate. This should be the aim of life. So to get free, and this is free of using human life, to get free from this being controlled by the most material nature and placing oneself under the control of the internal energy, the shelter of Krishna's internal energy, which means bhakti devi, which means Krishna's service, then the soul is in its natural position. So that is what human life is for, and therefore, because the Krishna consciousness movement teaches that, Prabhupada explains that in this dangerous material world, where everyone is desiring in dangerous ways that will place them in their next life in lower species, this Krishna consciousness movement is very important because it's teaching how to properly use one's life to get free from material energy through surrender to Krishna and loving service to Krishna. Text 26. So this Avadhuta said, I've analyzed the material world. I've seen that it consists of males and females trying to enjoy, but rather than enjoyment coming, misery comes, the opposite of their pleasure comes, no one's happy, so he's desired, no, I'm not going to take part at all in the material world. Now Prabhupada's purport is very practical. We'll read the second half, where even if we say, no, I'm not going to take part in the material world, I'm not going to try to fulfill any material tendencies or desires, I'm going to just lie down like a python somewhere, even if we attempt something like that, how long will we last? Until the first material desire comes properly, or the second or the third, and then we'll up and doing something else. So how to deal with the fact that we have material desires in the material world, and we are in the material world, but yet we don't want to become entangled by those material desires. We have material tendencies, but we don't want to become further entangled in the material world. So Prabhupada explains, sex and eating are essential, and therefore they are offered to human society under Vedic restrictions. So that according to the Vedic injunctions, people may eat, sleep, enjoy sex, be protected from fearful life, and gradually be elevated and liberated from the punishment of material existence. Thus, the Vedic injunctions for marriage offer a concession to human society. The idea being that a man and woman united in a ritualistic marriage ceremony should help one another advance in spiritual life. Unfortunately, especially in this age, men and women unite for unrestricted sexual enjoyment. Thus they are victimized, being obliged to take rebirth in the forms of animals to fulfill their animalistic propensities. The Vedic injunction therefore warn, Nayam deho deha bhajan riloke kastan kaman arhati vidbhujanye. One should not enjoy sex life like hogs and eat everything, even to the limit of stool. A human being should eat prasad offered to the deity and should enjoy sex life according to the Vedic injunctions. He should engage himself in the business of Krishna consciousness. He should save himself from the fearful condition of material existence, and he should sleep only to recover from fatigue due to working hard. So all the material propensities should be fulfilled in such a way that they are aligned with advancement in Krishna consciousness. And then one will advance, possibly gradually, possibly quickly, depending upon how strong our material desires are or how weak they are. But we will advance if we align everything under Shastric direction, with advancement in Krishna consciousness. Tasyaiva hetu prayate tukovido nalabhyate brahmaratan upayada talabhyate dukavaranyatra sukham sabhatra kalena gavira ramsa. That one, basic principle is that one should recognize that human life is special, not to be used for just getting the same pleasures available for the dogs and the pigs. The human life is meant to get that which is available only to humans, which is spiritual life, which is Krishna consciousness. So to align oneself with Krishna conscious principles to enjoy one's life, that is tapasya or austerity, and that's what human life is for. So everything should be aligned to advancement in Krishna consciousness. Then the next verse describes the real happiness of the soul is in Krishna consciousness. This is real happiness, but it is incompatible with materialistic activities. Material enjoyment is imagination. It never really will happen. The anticipation that it will happen is the pleasure. So after understanding this, the Abhidhut says, I'm lying down here, having ceased from all material activities. Prabhupada's purpose. Now Prabhupada is going to take up the difference between Mayavad philosophy and Vaishnava philosophy, because this Abhidhuta is lying down because he said, I'm not going to engage in any materialistic activities, therefore there's no activities for me, so I'm just going to lie down. But in Krishna consciousness, even if one realizes fully that materialistic activities can't make one happy, there's no just lying down. There's so much work and service in the service of Krishna. So there is a difference between the two outlooks and the two activities, or the activity and the lack of activity, two responses, a philosophical response. Or response to the philosophy. So Prabhupada is going to speak about that. The difference between the philosophy of the Mayavadis and that of the Vaishnavas is explained herein. Both the Mayavadis and Vaishnavas know that in materialist activities there is no happiness. The Mayavadi philosophers, therefore, adhering to the slogan Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, means that the truth is Brahman, and the material world, jagat, is falsity. So, adhering to that, they want to refrain from false materialistic activities. They want to stop all activities and merge in the Supreme Brahman. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, so they want to stop all activities because they think activities means, in this world, means it's illusion. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, however, if one simply ceases from materialistic activities, one cannot remain inactive for very long. And therefore, everyone should engage himself in spiritual activities, which will solve the problem of suffering in the material world. So that solves the problem of suffering because one's not engaging in materialistic activities and entangling oneself further, but rather one is active, which is the nature of the soul to be active, and therefore the body must be active. So one is active and yet doing good for others, doing best for others, spiritual activities, then one is yet not entangled and making advancement oneself. So this solves the problem. It is said therefore that although the Mayavadi philosophers strive to refrain from materialistic activities and merge in Brahman, and although they may actually merge in the Brahman existence, for want of activity, they fall down again into materialistic activity. Arua kachena paramvadam tata pachyanteda. Thus the so-called renouncer, unable to remain in meditation upon Brahman, returns to materialistic activities by opening hospitals and schools and so on. Therefore, simply cultivating knowledge that materialistic activities cannot give one happiness, and that one should consequently cease from activities is insufficient. Because if someone is saying that the world is illusion, but what are they doing? They end up opening hospitals. So if the world is illusion, therefore the diseases of the world are illusion. So what's the use of opening up an illusory hospital to cure an illusory disease? Like if one is sleeping and one's dreaming that one is sick. So what is the best thing one could do? Obviously, wake up, not build a hospital, go to the hospital in the dream to get cured of the illusory disease, because there's no reality to it. So engaging while saying that Jagan Nitya, saying that the material world is illusion, but engaging in material welfare activities is engaging in illusory activities as well. You're also an illusion. So therefore, because people must be active, this is what they do, even though they become philosophical hypocrites. Therefore, simply cultivating knowledge that materialistic activities cannot give one happiness and that one should consequently cease from such activities is insufficient. One should cease from materialistic activities and take up spiritual activities. Then the solution to the problem will be achieved. Spiritual activities are activities performed according to the order of Krishna. Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. For example, when Arjuna fought in response to the order of Krishna, his activities were not material. Fighting for sense gratification is a materialistic activity, but fighting by the order of Krishna is spiritual. By spiritual activities, one becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead, and then enjoy a blissful life eternally. Here in the material world, everything is but a mental concoction that will never give us real happiness. The practical solution, therefore, is to cease from materialistic activities and engage in spiritual activities. If one works for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Lord, Yajna Vishnu, one is in liberated life. If one fails to do so, however, he remains in a life of bondage. Next verse. So he's explaining that he ceased from all material activities, but contrary to what he's done, the next verse, 28, describes that conditioned souls, they forget their actual self-interest because of identification with the body. And therefore, because the body is attracted to the material world and they identify with the body, therefore they become entangled. And therefore, once entangled, there's so much suffering. The part of material existence, the tails part, we want the heads part, the enjoyment part. But along with the heads comes the tails. You can't just take the heads of the coin. You have to take both parts, both sides. So similarly, if one wants the material life, the material pleasures due to identification with the body, he also gets the suffering. Prabhupada's purport. The miseries of material existence. Everyone is trying to be happy because, as explained in the previous verse, sukam asyat mano rupam sadeho paratis tanu. When the living entity is in his original spiritual form, he is happy by nature. So we naturally want to be happy. It's natural for everyone to be happy. There's no question of miseries for the spiritual being. As Krishna is always happy, the living entities who are his parts and parcels are also happy by nature. But because of being put within the material world and forgetting their eternal relationship with Krishna, they have forgotten their real nature. Because every one of us is part of Krishna, we have a very affectionate relationship with him. But because we have forgotten our identities and are considering the body to be the self, we are afflicted by all the troubles of birth, death, old age, and disease. This misconception of materialistic life continues unless and until one comes to understand his relationship with Krishna. The happiness sought by the conditioned soul is certainly only illusion, as explained in the next verse. So on one hand, he ceased from materialistic activities, but the conditioned souls, they're engaging fully in materialistic activities because of identification with the body, and they are reaping the results of that. They're suffering.
29. And what's then the other dutta offers an example that helps us understand, like a deer, because of ignorance, he doesn't see the water within a well covered by grass. The water is nearby, but he doesn't see it. And he goes running after water somewhere else, far, far, far away, and he never receives, gets it. So similarly, the living entity, covered by the material body, and he doesn't see where the happiness truly is in the soul, in the soul's relationship with the Lord. And then he's running, running, working so hard externally, going so far to achieve his happiness. Prabhupada's purport will read most of it. This is an accurate example depicting how the living entity, because of lack of knowledge, runs after happiness outside his own self. When one understands his real identity as a spiritual being, he can understand the supreme spiritual being, Krishna, and the real happiness exchanged between Krishna and oneself. It is very interesting to note how this verse points to the body's growth from the spirit soul. The modern materialistic scientists think that life grows from matter, but actually the fact is that matter grows from life. The life or the spiritual soul is compared here to water, from which clumps of matter grow in the forms of grass. One who is ignorant of scientific knowledge of the spirit soul does not look inside the body to find happiness in the soul. Instead, he goes outside to search for happiness, just as a deer without knowledge of the water beneath the grass goes out to the desert to find water. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to remove the ignorance of misled human beings who are trying to find water outside the jurisdiction of life. Raso Vaisa. Krishna is the source of all sweetness in relationship. So more continuing the attempt for the conditioned soul, the living entities trying to, and this is what everyone is doing all day long, every day, day after day, week after week, trying to achieve happiness and ridding himself of the causes of distress. But these things are not in our control. They have to do with the body. And the body is fully under the control of material nature, and therefore, regardless of the body, all these plans are baffled. Read the second purport. As soon as a living entity is victimized by material desires to lord it over material nature, he is subjected to the control of material nature, which is supervised by the Supreme Soul. The result is that one again and again makes plans and is baffled. But as foolish as he is, he cannot see the cause of his bafflement. The cause is distinctly stated in Bhagavad Gita. Because one has not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must work under the control of material nature and its stringent laws. The only means of becoming free from this entanglement is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So we try the same thing again and again and again and again and again and again and again. But we don't get to the root of the problem, which Prabhupada is pointing out here. The essence of the problem is our lack of surrender. And the solution to the problem is to surrender. If you surrender to Krishna, Maya releases. If we don't, we must work under the guidance of material nature and its stringent laws. The only means of becoming free from this entanglement is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. In the human form of life, the living entity must accept this instruction from the Supreme Person. Krishna, Savadamam Pityajam Mamekam Sharanam Vrishya. Do not plan to achieve happiness and drive away distress. You will never be successful. Simply surrender unto me. Unfortunately, however, the living entity does not accept the Supreme Lord's clearly stated instructions from Bhagavad Gita and thus he becomes a perpetual captive of the laws of material nature. If one does not act for the satisfaction of Krishna, who is known as Vishnu or Yajna, he must be entangled in the reactions of fruitive activities. These reactions are called pap and punya, sinful and pious. By pious activities, one is elevated to the higher planetary systems, and by impious activities, one is degraded to lower species of life, in which he is punished by the laws of nature. In the lower species of life, there is an evolutionary process. And when the term of the living entity's imprisonment or punishment in the lower species is finished, he is again offered a human form and given a chance to decide for himself which way he should plan. If he again misses the opportunity, he is again put into the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes higher and sometimes lower, turning on the samsara chakra, the wheel of material existence. As the wheel sometimes goes up and sometimes comes down, the stringent laws of material nature make the living entity in material existence sometimes happy and sometimes distressed. How he suffers in the cycle of happiness and distress is described in the next verse. So we're being pushed here to surrender to Krishna and give up our materialistic plans of happiness. Why? Because they entangle us in so much suffering. So this chapter is entitled The Behavior of the Perfect Person. And we should set this as our ideal, not that we set as our ideal to adopt the pose of a python, but accept our ideal and strive always for that ideal as full surrender to Krishna. And place ourselves under Krishna's care. So, any questions or comments? The jnanis, or the impersonalists, they can't engage in any material activities because, according to our philosophy or Vaishnava philosophy, material activities entangle them, but because they think the activities of devotional service are maya, therefore they can't engage in any activity. So what can they do? So how torturous is their life, practically speaking? So when Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is easy, he's very often contrasting it to the life of the jnani or the impersonalist. They can't do anything with their senses at all, because everything that they do, even breathing, practically speaking, eating, and they have to eat and they have to breathe sometimes, there is karma involved in that, either papa punya. So Krishna consciousness is very simple and easy in the sense that it doesn't call for any sense abnegation. Rather, one can use one's senses and one's propensities fully in the service of Krishna. And even if one isn't pure, even if one's motivation isn't pure, if one is taking some percentage out of it, gradually, by the power of devotional service, to Vrena Bhakti Yogini and Jaita Purusha, all the obstacles, all the blockages will be removed if one fully engages, strongly and powerfully, following the proper procedures, the rules and regulations, and fully engages. Then it's just a matter of time. And Krishna's mercy and the power of devotional service will remove the obstacles. Okay. Stop. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.